This is Cap and Company. Follow on Twitter at The Cap Man.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
It's 11 o'clock in the great city of Chicago. Carmen and Yurko coming up at noon. Waddle and Sylvie, too. Always great listening. And we are playing a contest called Biggest Name Drop. Get the biggest celebrity to call us. At the end of the day on Friday, our boss, Mike Thomas, will say who the biggest one was. If you got that biggest celebrity to call, you win the $500 gift card to Meats by Lins. They supply all the top restaurants. And it's Visit Eat. Angus.com. Visit eatangus.com. Steaks, pork, ground beef, you name it. And a $250 online gift card to Club Hawthorne so you can play the ponies. And if you get a good pick from Edzo, you might be able to turn that into a whole bunch of money, of cash. So the biggest name drop contest. One thing, I got to read you guys one tweet. Jeff Rasick said, hey, at Sheryl Crow, call ESPN 1000 to talk to at the Catman. You got to do it. Every day is a winding road, so soak up the sun and give him a dial. Pretty good. Pretty creative. We'll see if she does. Shea Pepler Cornett is a dear friend. She worked with us on this show, and she now lives in Connecticut because that's where her husband, Jordan, works for the ACC Network. Shea is doing football for Sirius, and she joins us now. Hello, my friend. How are you guys?
Hi, Cap. I'm good, and I'm laughing because you lead into me with the biggest name drop promo, and then you have me come on. Like, what is that about? I really hope Sheryl Crow does call by Friday, though. That would be awesome.
You know that whole story.
No, I just have read some tweets that say you met her, you know her, or something along those lines.
I met her at Wrigley in a skybox, and she asked me to have a drink that night and gave me her cell, which I still have in my phone.
Cap.
And I was dating
Mindy. Text her and tell her to come on the show.
And I was dating Mindy, and I never followed up.
Oh, really? Yeah. I don't know. I would love to hear Black and Zetterman's argument on this, but if you have her number, then why not just text her and tell her to come on the show?
Because I haven't talked to this woman in 15 years.
Well, you still look the same as you did back then, so hopefully still a shot.
Yeah, I'm a lot thinner.
Did you have hair back then? Was this Cap with hair?
Cap with hair, yeah.
Cap with hair.
Yeah. Boy, so maybe you're much handsomer now with the beard and the bald.
Yeah.
And you style.
Ink.
Ink, yeah.
So tell us how things are going for you out there, because you uprooted your whole life, sold your place here, married Jordan, you live in Connecticut, now you're doing satellite radio. How are things for Shay?
Things are going well. I got to tell you, I did not anticipate moving across the country and then being stuck in a house for weeks on end. However, it has actually been a good thing. Obviously, Jordan and I had been living apart while I was covering the Bears and in Chicago and at Fox and at ESPN with you guys. And he was out here covering football and basketball for ACC Network and for ESPN platform. So it's been nice to be with my husband for weeks on end, like all hours of the day. We got a new puppy. Her name is Kobe. She's like the love of our life and been keeping us busy. But trust me, Cap, I did not expect to move to Connecticut and then never leave the house. Like, it's been quite an adjustment. I will say I've learned every stream, lake, and river near our house. I've gone on lots of walks. And I'm blessed to be able to obviously do radio. Jordan and I are both to be able to work from home, which has been really nice. So, yes, I am doing SiriusXM NFL radio a couple days a week. So that's been really nice. And I get my football fix. I get to argue with people, you know. Just stay in my lane.
All right, so what do you think about the acquisition of Nick Foles? We had Brian Urlacher on the station with Waddle and Sylvie yesterday. Uh-huh. He still thinks it's Mitch's job Nick Foles would have to beat him out. I feel the same way. There are others in town who go, nope, if you gave up a pick and you're paying him a bunch of money, he's automatically the guy.
Okay, so those people are saying if you gave up a pick and gave him a bunch of money, do you know what you gave up to get Mitch in the first place? Yeah, I think it is still Mitch's job, but I do think Nick Foles is the right answer in terms of what you're bringing in for competition, which is what you and I have talked about a million times. They're going to bring in a capable quarterback that can help groom Mitch, help him along, provide some veteran leadership, but then also create a little bit of healthy competition for him so he knows that he has to stay on his toes. It's exactly what Mitch Trubisky needs. I like that Nick Foles has worked with all the coordinators before, knows Matt Nagy's system inside and out. It's a guy that's used to being in a backup role. Obviously, he had a little taste of a starting role in Jacksonville, didn't quite pan out. But it's interesting because I think back to my conversations I had with Chase Daniel in the locker room when he went in for Mitch a few times when Mitch was hurt. And Chase seemed to win games when he didn't know he was going in as the starter, right? When he'd come in, like that game in Detroit, midway through the game, or the game against the Vikings at Soldier Field when Trubisky would get hurt. And I said, why do you have so much success and you go in mid-game? He's like, it's almost like you're not thinking as much, right? You're not preparing the same way you would knowing the starter is out. You just kind of go, you go with it, you go through your progression. And I think that'll kind of be Nick Foles. I feel like Nick Foles played a lot better when he was in that backup role. It doesn't require him to think as clearly as he would knowing he's the starter. I like the pick. I think he'll provide good, healthy competition. However, if you ask me if Foles is going to start maybe week 8, possibility. I think if Trubisky goes out the first couple of weeks and lays some eggs, Foles will get right in there as a starter.
Yeah, I agree with you that if I look, last year, and I said this to you on the air, Chase Daniel was a glorified assistant coach. Great guy, yeah. Knows the system, supportive, good dude in the room, all of it. But now you have a legitimate football player behind Mitch.
Yeah, he's much more athletic, obviously. He's much more proven. I mean, the man has won a Super Bowl. He's good under pressure. He's taller. He's bigger. He's more athletic. I think you're right. It's definitely someone that could step in at any time and be a starter if need be. And, Cap, I really like the fact that this guy knows how to win football games in the postseason. Last year, the year before, this was a young team, not used to it, not used to being in the postseason, not used to that kind of pressure. All the way from the kicker to the rookie wide receiver. This is a guy who can help in that aspect and teach them how to play in pressure situations.
In terms of this division, I know that they have the fourth-ranked quarterback and the fourth-ranked offense. Stafford, Rodgers, Cousins are all better than what the Bears currently have. But if you take the team, the unit, the group, where do you think the Bears are right now in this division?
Oh, don't make me do that. You know I have 100%. A special place in my heart. Well, first of all, I don't know that Matthew Stafford is going to play football again. I don't. And I said that to you on the air before, and I hate to throw that kind of a bold statement out there, but when you have a guy who had broken bones in his back and he didn't even really know it and he was trying to push through, sat out, and had a wife with health concerns, there is a lot of things that factor in to what Matthew Stafford is going to do and ultimately decide to do. And then you throw in the fact that we're in a pandemic right now. I just don't know that Matthew Stafford is ever going to come back and be that starting quarterback that the Lions have seen in years past. So that's one. There's a little bit of an asterisk by the Lions right now. The Packers, you know what you're getting, obviously, in Aaron Rodgers. The Vikings and Kirk Cousins are kind of like an anomaly, right? Kirk Cousins finally stepped up, played in the big game, played well in the big game, but you know how it is when the lights come on mid-season and it's Viking Bears at Soldier Field. It's not the same kind of Kirk Cousins. And I would say the Bears have got the Vikings number. Just like the Packers have the Bears number, I think the Bears have the Vikings number. So in my list, I would go actually Viking. I'm sorry, I would go Packers, Bears, Vikings, Lions.
The Lions look to me to be just a train wreck. They do. And especially if they don't have Matthew Stafford, then
Yeah,
obviously they're going to draft a quarterback high. Do they take a guy like Tua Tagovailoa in the draft?
No.
They're picking what, third?
They're picking third, but I think the Miami Dolphins are going to do everything they can to go get Tua Tagovailoa.
Well,
the
Miami Herald says this morning that they're actually now trying to trade for Joe Burrow.
That's fine. Fine. Okay. Then the Bengals, I think, will take Tua Tagovailoa. Maybe they switch things around. I do not think it's going to get to a situation where the Lions are capable of drafting a guy like Tua.
But Shay, Tua's going to be on the board at 3 because Washington's not taking him. They're probably taking Chase Young. So if they want him, he's theirs.
Also, from everything that I've heard, Stephen Ross really has an invested interest in Tua Tagovailoa. He's watched his videos. He's been in communication with him. Supposedly, that's who Miami wants. So I would be shocked if Burrow gets past 1 and goes for the Dolphins. I think Tua and Joe are going to go to the Cincinnati, and then to Miami. I would be very surprised if Detroit lands one of those top QBs. And then after those two QBs go, there is a major drop off from there.
Are you looking at the Bears with their two picks, 43 and 50, thinking they're going to trade down, try to get more picks, or are they grabbing the two best players on the board? And should those best players, from what you're hearing with your NFL sources, be on the offensive line?
I do think they should draft on the offensive line. But, Cap, I got to tell you, I thought of something interesting the other day. Obviously, the Bears pick up Jimmy Graham, an aging tight end, which I thought was kind of a weird pick. But I was wondering if maybe they were in the market for some of these top tight ends, and they just couldn't land them for whatever reason. So I had Austin Hooper on my radio show the other day, and I asked him, hey, what teams were interested in you? Because I know that was a name you and I had thrown around a little bit. He was one of the top tight ends. Obviously, he got paid money as such. And he said the only two teams that he was really communicating with were the Browns and the Redskins. Never mentioned the Bears. Didn't seem like he had any discussion with the Bears. I found that to be very interesting. So I wonder if the Bears kind of went for Jimmy Graham, knowing that that was kind of the bar that they could get at tight end. But I would be shocked, considering this is a very deep tight end class in the draft, if they don't try and pick up one of those tight ends in the later rounds. I also think, yes, they address the offensive line, and they stay on the offensive side of the football, especially after they signed Robert Quinn on the defensive side of the ball to play alongside Khalil Mack. I do think all those picks in the earlier, quote-unquote, earlier rounds, because I know they don't have any super early, are on the offensive side of the ball.
Yeah, I truly think they're going to find a way to address the offensive line with some type of a road grader inside, a guard that can really help their run game. I think they're going to come out of this with another running back. I'm not saying in the second round, but somewhere they're going to come up with another running back. So they have to get more weapons out there. I also believe, as I said to you earlier, Mitchell Trubisky is the starter unless he gets beaten out by Nick Foles.
Now, Cap, I'm wondering what you think about the draft staying put at where it is, because in my conversations with people about this, I fully believe that it should stay where it is. Like, look, to me, this is going to weed out the good GMs from the bad GMs, the good decision makers from the bad decision makers, because you got to get creative, right? These guys can only call the prospects, speak to them, I believe it's three times a week in an hour window. You can't obviously run your physicals, but you should have done your homework ahead of time. So if it's teams that have waited to the last minute, they're really going to struggle. You can't have an entire staff there, so trades are going to be more difficult. We obviously know how much Ryan Pace likes to utilize those. So it's going to be really challenging for these football teams. You can't be at your facility, which is equipped with all the equipment you need to kind of do all these things, to communicate with the league, communicate with other teams, communicate with prospects. You have to pick a place that's wired technology-wise. So to me, this is going to really show you this draft, who was prepared and who wasn't. I like that they kept it where it's at.
Yeah, I also was listening to something on NFL Network the other day on Sirius, where they were saying that the smaller school guys will not get as many teams to take chances on them because they're going to take the safer pick, because they'll say, well, I really didn't get to see Ashland College play much. I didn't get to go work that guy out before the draft. I'll take the guy I watched from Oklahoma.
Yeah, I agree with that. And also, you're not able to bring these guys in, like we talked about, to run your own physical. And a lot of times, the bigger schools, they just have more extensive medical staff. They have bigger staffs in general that can kind of work with these guys. They know them. They know their skill sets. Where at the smaller schools, they don't have as much of that. Also, a lot of times, the smaller school players turn out to be unrestricted free agents, right, that the teams can bring in and they can work out. I don't know what they're going to do with the end of the draft when they're picking up all these free agents at the end, because it's awkward. It's going to be really weird at the end of the draft how they get these guys on the line. Everyone's competing because everyone's making phone calls. You can't bring guys in for meetings. You can't run physicals on them. So I think it's really going to get chaotic at the end and then once the draft finishes.
Shay, please give our best to Jordan. I hope you got him a nice gift for his birthday, best you could with all that's going on.
Yeah, I did my best, Cap. I did my best. Quarantine birthdays aren't the best, but hey, we made the best of it.
There you go. God bless. We miss you. We love you.
Miss you guys. Love you guys. Talk to you soon.
All right, we'll see you. There you go. Shay Pepler from SiriusXM NFL Radio. And, of course, she was a teammate of ours here. We love her. 312-332-3776. Interesting news out of Green Bay next and how it may affect Aaron Rodgers' future. Plus, The Athletic did a really interesting column talking to NFL executives anonymously about each team's free agency moves. I'll tell you what the anonymous in the league are saying about what the Bears did. That's all next.
Did you miss some Cap and Company? Your podcast is ready. Chicago's home for sports is on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
This is Cap and Company on ESPN 1000.
Chicago and the Illinois broadcasters are uniting against hunger. 8 food banks in Illinois are responding to the critical need for food caused by the COVID-19 pandemic. Your gift will be processed by the Greater Chicago Food Depository. It's an awesome group. And the Northern Illinois Food Bank. You could donate without leaving your home. The new goal is $1 million. Conagra Brands Foundation is now matching every dollar donated up to $100,000. Go to feedingillinois.org/unite or make it easy for you. Text FEEDIL, FEEDIL to 91999. FEEDIL to 91999. Your generous gift will help make sure families in our communities have enough to eat. All right, so Danny, you told me there's a little news out of Green Bay. Why don't you enlighten us?
I find this tremendously interesting, Cap. According to Ian Rappaport of NFL Network, former Utah State quarterback Jordan Love continues to create buzz as we barrel towards the 2020 NFL draft. Rappaport is reporting that the Green Bay Packers, among other teams, have been in contact with Jordan Love via FaceTime and other virtual methods, per a source informed with the meetings. Love is projected to go anywhere from the top 10 of the draft through the back half of the first round. The Packers pick 30th. I find that incredibly interesting since Aaron Rodgers is still considered an elite quarterback, probably top 3 in the league. The Packers have other holes to fill, yet there is speculation that they're going to draft a quarterback, a very good one out of Utah State, Jordan Love, that high in the draft.
Well,
what does that say about Aaron Rodgers' future and where the Packers feel they are headed with him?
To me, it says absolutely nothing, because it is the blueprint that worked when they brought Aaron in with Brett Favre in his prime. Didn't Brett play 3 more years as the Green Bay quarterback while Aaron sat there? So maybe they're going, you know what? Son of a, that blueprint worked for us. Like, our general manager said Mitchell Trubisky is not expected to play as a rookie, period. Not going to play. And then they completely went against themselves 4 weeks in and go, oh, Mike Glennon stinks, he's got to play. On a team that had no chance, no matter how well either guy played, to go to the playoffs and make a run. So maybe it would have been smarter to have him sit there for, he may still stink, he may. All I'm saying is in Green Bay, there are people up there that think the reason Aaron became who he became is because he sat multiple years, learned the system, learned how to be a pro at the feet of Brett Favre, and then when it was his time, they handed him the keys and he was ready to go.
I feel like you bringing up the Bears starting Trubisky early held water the first year he was a starter, maybe early in his second year.
Yeah, I said he might still stink anyway.
At this point, 40-plus games in the NFL as a starter, that's not a viable thing to point to anymore. So, look, hearing this news, Danny and Cap, and the thing that I think of immediately is, oh, no, really? The Packers are going to land 2 quarterbacks that they could have once again where we have none? Like, please don't tell me that the Packers, at the end of the first round, get Jordan Love, and Jordan Love turns into a franchise quarterback.
He won't be there at the end of the first round.
Some projections have it debatable, Cap. There are people suggesting
going like 6,
okay,
right?
McShay does. Some people on NFL.com suggest that he may be a second-round pick. I don't know. Usually the way this stuff works out is once there's a run on quarterbacks, quarterbacks start going off the board. I would be surprised if Jordan Love falls past like 20. I get that. But if the Packers are interested and they move up and they do grab Jordan Love and they get that next quarterback, while we're here sitting here with Nick Foles and Trubisky, once again, not preparing for the future, trying to take care of today because we're worried about our jobs, Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy, and not looking out for the quarterback who's going to run this team for the next 10 years. Once again, as a Bears fan, I will be disappointed. If they land the quarterback, a franchise quarterback, and we are here with Nick Foles as the only option after this season, that to me, as a Bears fan, will be a major blow.
Yeah, I don't.
It just will. If once again they get the next quarterback, that will be infuriating.
Right. And have him sit behind Aaron for 2 years and learn, and then, boop. Drop him in.
Yeah.
See ya.
Whatever the time frame is. Wouldn't that kill you as a Bears fan?
Yes. 100%. Don't disagree with you whatsoever. But again, when they drafted Mitchell Trubisky, they absolutely went against everything they said. We're going to sit him. I talked to Ryan Pace. He said, I don't want him to play at all as a rookie. I want him to learn. He's raw. Yeah, exactly. Up 4 weeks in, Mike Glennon stinks. Let's play him. Now, I'm not saying he would have ever been any better. I'm not saying that. All I'm simply saying is you went against what you thought you should do. 312-332-3776 is our phone number. Danny, am I supposed to go to line one?
Biggest name drop contest, Cap. She knows you're a fan.
Is it Kara?
It's Kara.
Hi, Kara. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I am great. And how can I help you about our contest?
So my girlfriend and her husband love your show, and they told me that Kaplan flies American Airlines all the time, recognize my voice.
That's all I fly is American.
Well, that's beautiful. So I am the safety video girl. So probably the most famous person.
Are you really the safety video girl?
I am really the safety video girl.
How about that? Okay. So we had Hank Azaria. We had Jim Peterick of Survivor. Like, the safety video girl's been seen by way more people.
I guess.
How did you get a job like that?
So I was a flight attendant for American, and I was on a flight one time and someone was like, hey, I like your voice. And I didn't think anything of it, which is ironic because I got bullied for my voice growing up because it was so low and they said I sounded like a valley girl.
Uh-huh.
But so then someone emailed me and they were like, hey, we want you to come in and try out for this thing. So I tried out and I got it.
So how long have you been doing the video? Are you still a flight attendant or are you cutting other videos? Like, what do you do now?
Right now I'm a mom and I'm pregnant with our second child. Uh-huh. And I'm a realtor. I'm not a flight attendant anymore. And I was a flight attendant for about 6.5 years.
So when did you cut your last video?
2015.
And they still run it.
They still run it. Yeah, I think I signed my life away.
So you don't get paid residuals every time it runs then.
No, wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah, wouldn't that be amazing? Oh my God. Well, the next time
I was just a naive.
Yeah, the
baby.
Next time I get on a flight, and I mean I fly a lot. So the next time I get on the flight, like I normally don't always pay attention to it. Like, yeah, okay. I've flown 40,000 flights. I get it. I am absolutely going to look up and go, I know that person.
Lovely.
Where do you live? Chicago?
I live in the suburbs of Chicago. Yeah.
Nice. Nice. Well,
yeah.
Kara, thank you for calling us. That's pretty cool. I appreciate you
of
taking
course.
Time.
Of course. This is fun.
When are you due?
I'm due June 21st. Well, summer solstice.
God bless. Hope everything is in a much better place and that your husband can be there right there with you.
Amen. Thank you. And I hope you guys are all safe and sound and feeling great.
All right. If you know Sheryl Crow from your travels on American, get her to call in.
Sheryl Crow. Yeah. No.
Have a great day.
Take care. You too.
All right.
Bye.
Thanks a lot. How great is that? She's the safety video.
Cap, do you pay attention to those videos?
I told her, not really.
Yeah. Like, see?
I actually sat next to you on the last flight we took together, and you were swearing at her. You're like, tell her to shut the F up already.
No, I did not.
Enough with the safety video crap.
No shot.
Listen, I don't think, she was very sweet. I appreciated her calling in. We're not winning the contest with that. Listen, peeps, we've got to step up. She might be right above Chris Cluey. Maybe. Right above Chris Cluey.
Oh, she's way better than Chris Cluey.
Well, I said I'm ranking her above Chris Cluey.
She's probably.
But we're not going to win the contest with the American Airlines flight attendant person. Sorry to say. Like, the Cap Hives got to step it up.
Could you imagine if that won?
Oh, my God. And Mike Thomas would be like, I'm done. I got to get out of here.
Oh, man.
I'm going to give you a count of how many people have tweeted at Sheryl Crow. Poor Sheryl Crow's Twitter. If she has alerts set up on her phone, she's probably like, okay, who is this jackass in Chicago?
Here's the thing. I love Chris's idea because if it happens, that's going to be the best thing we've done on radio in 5 years.
Yep.
But I feel like we've now put all our eggs into one basket. We need to have the Sheryl Crow crew just going after her, but we need a lot of our audience to focus on some other big name people because we seriously cannot lose to Waddle and Sylvie. I'm all right losing to Waddle, but I can't lose to Sylvie.
New idea. What if the listeners target people who may be friends with Sheryl Crow? So if the lower level celebrity gets on the line, then we can bring up Sheryl Crow to then try and convince them to get her to call.
Or this is a great idea. We're all familiar with the term Eskimo brother.
Uh-huh.
Sheryl Crow has dated a lot of very famous people that could have possibly been Eskimo brothers.
Are any of them bigger names than me?
Much bigger.
Oh, please.
That could have possibly been Eskimo brothers with Cap had things worked out. Maybe we get some of them on. Eric Clapton, Owen Wilson, Lance Armstrong, Kid Rock. Let's focus on the Sheryl Crow tree.
It's a great idea, Danny. But she may hate all those
guys. I'm not going to lie to you. Eric Clapton coming on, or Kid Rock coming on, or Lance Armstrong coming on would be a little bit cooler than Sheryl Crow. Even though Sheryl Crow, we'd have the entertainment value of her saying, I don't remember ever asking you out. But, like, conversationally, to talk to, like, Lance Armstrong or Eric Clapton would maybe be a little better.
All right, we've got to take a quick time out, and then we're going to get back to your calls. I've got to tell you, The Athletic did a deep dive on each team's free agency moves, talking to anonymous executives in the league. Got them to go off the record. I'll tell you what they said about the Bears next.
It's Cap and Company. Follow us on the gram at Cap and Co. and ESPN _ Chicago.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
So, The Athletic, which everyone should subscribe to, I mean, it's awesome. The Athletic did a deep dive about each team's free agency moves. Execs unfiltered on every NFL team's free agency moves and trades. Mike Sando put it out. And I am going to read you what it says about the Chicago Bears. And then I would like Danny and Chris to respond along with you. 312-332-3776. Chicago Bears, if the Nick Foles acquisition was the most important one for Chicago, the Jimmy Graham signing drew the most heat. 33-year-old Graham saw his receiving yardage total fall to 447 with Green Bay last season, the lowest of his career since a 356-yard rookie season in 2010. His $8 million annual average salary ranks tied for sixth among NFL tight ends with Trey Burton, his new teammate. But here's what an evaluator said. This is in the league. People are making a big deal about Jimmy Graham because they're not happy with how much money he received. But he had a great game against Seattle in the playoffs. Was all over the field, the evaluator said. If you get from Jimmy Graham what the Packers got from him in the playoffs last year, you are getting what you wanted. Are we upset with the production that he last left us with? Upset? No. skeptical Graham will provide such value over a full season? Sure. But with Greg Olsen missing 18 games over the past three seasons and getting $7 million a year from Seattle at age 35, the Bears are not alone. And as another evaluator noted, Burton has been most effective as a number two, so Graham's arrival could be welcome. Thoughts, Danny, Chris, when you hear that from an evaluator in the league?
If we get his production in the playoffs, what was that, two games worth of production? We're spending $9 million guaranteed, praying that we get what he provided in 2 games.
But he's saying Greg Olsen missed 18 games over the past three seasons and got $7 million a year. I don't know what the total guarantee was. And so that's just what it costs.
I don't love it. I still don't love it. Eric Ebron for cheaper would have been a better option. I don't love what they spent on Jimmy Graham. I'm still thinking in my mind that Trey Burton is now the Bears' lead tight end. Reading that did not make me feel any better.
Okay. Chris, any thoughts when you hear that part before I continue?
Yeah, my thought is it's a nice article there by The Athletic, and I get that they're showcasing what Jimmy Graham did in the playoffs. Unfortunately, that has not been what we've seen from the player in the last few years. A couple nice games is not what we've seen. We've seen that very few and far between. Usually you get minus production from him as a tight end. So yeah, hell, if he could give you that for every game, that'd be fantastic. Unfortunately, I don't think that that's realistic.
This hour brought to you by Blue Cross Blue Shield of Illinois. Through life's ups and downs, for all the journeys ahead, you know what to bring. The card you can count on, Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Illinois, through it all. Okay, moving on. Free agency is frequently about admitting mistakes for teams. The Bears signed Graham in part because Burton has not flourished and been injured. They acquired Foles from Jacksonville for a compensatory fourth-round pick because their 2017 first-round pick, Mitch Trubisky, might not be the answer at quarterback. They signed Robert Quinn because they hope to upgrade from 2016 first-rounder Leonard Floyd, who was allowed to leave in free agency. Chicago moves on for the ninth pick in the draft, Floyd, who they moved up for, and then you pass off $30 million in guarantees to a 30-year-old rusher who has had back issues and has played a lot of snaps, an exec said of Quinn. He will help them through this year, and that's what they're trying to do, win this year. But I would be worried longer term. Foles represents a lower-risk fallback. If they have to admit Trubisky was a mistake, they have a guy in Foles who's proven he can win coming in midseason. He is a perfect insurance policy, albeit expensive. When a team thinks they have a lot of talent and can be a solid playoff team and a deep playoff contender, which Chicago does, your backup quarterback is pretty important. I do not have a problem with the Bears paying what they're paying to Nick Foles in order to have him in there. Replacing Trubisky outright would have been another alternative, but this exec says the point is they want their guy Trubisky to be successful. They want to have protection, though, because he hasn't gotten over the hump, and there will be a lot of pressure if it doesn't happen this year. You feel more comfortable bringing in a backup you think you can win with as opposed to going and getting a Cam Newton or Jameis Winston to unseat your guy. Foles has the trust of the head coach. He knows how to support the starter, Mitch, and will come in there and show Trubisky the way a little bit. Whereas if you had brought Cam Newton in, you are saying you are done with Mitchell Trubisky. So that's the main moves that they made. There you go. 312-332-3776. Let's go to the phones. John's in Urbana, Illinois. John, what's up, Sparkles?
Hey, what's going on, Cappy?
How you doing, kid?
I was wondering, you guys keep saying that it's a Trubisky's job to lose to Foles. What I'm wondering is, if Trubisky's numbers struggle, if he struggles, but our defense being as elite as it looks like it's going to be, we're still winning. Do you think they replace him, or if we're still winning some tight games and he's playing poorly, they leave him in there?
Oh, I think that he has a very short leash. Now, he could get beaten out in training camp, absolutely, but I agree with what that exec said. They did not trade for Nick Foles to immediately make him the starter. I do not believe that for a second. And what that exec said makes all the sense in the world, that they are bringing Nick Foles in because he knows how to be the backup. He knows how to ride to the rescue. And if you tell me that Mitch starts and the Bears are 1-2 after three games, 0-3, 2-1, whatever it is, but he's played poorly, and they feel like, hey, man, we have a chance with this defense, and we feel like we've got the pieces, we can make a run, Mitch will be on the bench quicker than you know what through a goose.
All righty. Well, thanks for taking my call, Cap. You guys stay safe.
You too. Stay safe and healthy. See ya. 312-332-3776. Rick is in Valparaiso. Hey, Rick. What's up, Sparkles?
Hey, Cap. Long-time listener, 10,000-time caller, first time I ever got through.
You're the best.
Hey, I got an analogy about here goes my analogy. You remember when Kurt Warner was bagging groceries, but he really should have been in the NFL throwing footballs?
Yeah, he was playing for the Iowa Barnstormers in the Arena League.
Yeah, and doing the bagging groceries on the side or whatever he was doing.
Correct.
Instead of in the NFL throwing footballs. Well, I think Mitchell Trubisky is the opposite of that.
Okay, we're going to find out. Appreciate it, man. Thanks for calling.
I think we already found out, but thanks a lot for taking my call.
You got it. Thanks. See ya.
Come on. Laugh a little. That was a funny joke.
No, it was not.
Yeah, it was creative. It was funny.
Yeah, there was a setup. Yeah.
Kurt Warner was stocking grocery shelves when he should have been throwing footballs. Mitch Trubisky's throwing footballs.
I get it.
You didn't laugh. Have a sense of humor. It's tough times.
You know he's not your son.
Yes. It's not a personal indictment on you.
Yeah, your reaction there was like he was making fun of your kids.
Guy took the time out
Pretty
of his
close.
Day
oh,
to call.
Come on.
He took the time out of his day, used his cell phone minutes to call your
called
show to entertain show. Your audience, and that's how you treat him.
Called the show.
Appreciate you and Valparaiso, Rick. 312.
Do you appreciate him? Have you been watching Curb? Did you see the episode of Curb about appreciate?
No. I think I'm through. How many episodes are there in this season?
I don't know, maybe 8. It's the second to last one about I appreciate you.
I haven't seen it
yet. That's what you did right there. I appreciate you. You didn't appreciate him.
I appreciate him. I hope he gets his...
Whatever.
I hope he gets everything he wants in his life. I hope he's happy, healthy, all that. Let's go to Frank in Lafayette. Frank, what's going on, man?
Hey, what's going on, boys?
How you doing? No triple X for you there.
What I was calling to say is that okay, I have two things on Mr. Trubisky. I think more often, and I've heard a few say this, is there's three tiers. You're either star, you're average, or you're trash. And last year, people just automatically threw Mr. Trubisky to the trash bin, and I think he's more of the middle guy. And so I think him as well as Trey Burton, let's hope that Trey Burton can give us 2018, maybe a little bit more, and Jimmy Graham can at least give us what he gave last year and maybe a little bit of what he gave the Seahawks, and we got something. And I think at this time, we as fans in general, we just need to understand that they're trying to do what they can do, and ultimately, if they come in, Nick Foles comes in and pushes Mitch, and he doesn't do it, I think they're in a good position to move forward with the future. So, I mean, I think we just need to look at it more optimistically than pessimistically at this time. I understand everything may not go how we want it, but, man, it's a lot. There's a lot that they're trying to build on from the last few years. So,
and when I said Triple X, tell people what Triple X is there. Isn't that the great diner in Lafayette? What's that called?
Oh, I know what you're talking about. That's near West Lafayette. Yeah, Triple X, the diner. Yeah, I know exactly what you're saying.
It's the greatest. Yeah. Yeah, because I got to look like, what did you just say to him? Yeah, that's the greatest diner in the world, man.
Yeah, they have really good food there.
Oh, phenomenal. Every time I do a game at Purdue, I got to go eat there. Hey, man, have a great day and stay safe and healthy.
You as well.
All right, see ya. 312-332-3776. We'll take more of your calls and refresh the biggest name drop contest. We got a huge contestant called in today. She's the video of the safeties on American Airlines. We'll be right back.
This is ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
This is Cap and Company Sports Talk while you're on the clock.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So we're doing this contest called the Biggest Name Drop Contest. And you got to get the biggest name celebrity to call in to the radio station, preferably here.
You.
I'm kind of a big deal.
Are connected.
It's not about who you know.
You know people.
Who would you say is the most famous person in your phone?
You know people who are known. Can you get them to call us?
I enjoy American football. I've actually dated a player once. But he wasn't my type, so I set him up with my friend Giselle.
ESPN 1000's biggest name drop. The bigger the name.
I'd say we're dropping names three at a time.
The bigger the prize. Which celebrity can you get to call us?
So, while Chris is out there fishing to get Sheryl Crow, there's a billion other celebrities. Like, Danny, if you had your choice, you could get anybody to call the show. And you go, that's a slam dunk, we just won. Who would it be?
Well, in the world of film, I would go with Leonardo DiCaprio. I would go with Brad Pitt. Quentin Tarantino would be amazing. I think Quentin Tarantino would be an outstanding, amazing interview, even though you've never seen Pulp Fiction or any of his amazing work.
Saw Pulp Fiction.
Christian Slater would be great. Lady Gaga would be great. Bradley Cooper would be great. Adam Sandler would be great. Eddie Vedder and Pearl Jam have a new album out. They can't go on the late night shows, so perhaps they'd like to come on with Cap and Company and promote the new album Gigaton, which is amazing. I can think of 1,000 people that would be great. All you got to do is tweet them. I mean, that's how Waddle and Sylvie had success yesterday. Somebody tweeted Hank Azaria. He called right in.
Yeah, because they're all quarantined. They're like, ah, that'll be fun.
They've got nothing to do. So make it your mission. Get Bradley Cooper on with us.
Lady Gaga would be phenomenal. Like, she had a place. She was living here because her boyfriend was Taylor Kinney. I think they're broken up, though.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they are.
She was at Malnati's once a week. My wife would get all the calls. Yep, Lady Gaga's eating pizza at River North. Yeah. And they said she was the nicest. Awesome to deal with.
Ben Affleck. How about The Rock? Jay-Z, Will Smith.
Ben Affleck would be awesome. I watched a movie with my wife of his the other night. Have you ever seen The Town?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, who hasn't seen The Town?
What year is this, what? Cap? Have you seen The Town?
Have you guys ever seen this new movie?
The Town?
It was under the radar. The Town.
I hate you guys.
Movie's been on TNT on replays for what, 10 years now?
It came out 10 years ago.
I saw it 10 years ago.
By Yurko's rules, we can ruin the end.
I saw it 10 years ago.
The heist does not go well. It doesn't play out well for them in the end, guys.
I had seen it, and it was on, so I'm like, hey, hon, I've seen this movie a bunch. You want to watch it? And she likes those kind of movies. And when they are dressed up as nuns with the masks, it was hilarious. I thought
from 2010.
Yeah, I love that movie.
It's hilarious.
It's a great movie.
I don't think anybody would say The Town is hilarious.
I mean, it's
super rewatchable.
I enjoy it.
Get Julia Roberts on with us. Jennifer Lawrence.
Have you guys seen The Town?
Rihanna.
I didn't say that I hadn't. My wife hadn't.
Carm's here. Carm, Cap just discovered
the
movie.
Have you seen The Town?
Have you seen The Town, Carm?
It's this cool movie.
Oh, my God. It's The Town.
They try and pull off a heist at Fenway. Could you imagine the concept here?
And they're wearing masks, Carm. It's hilarious.
Out in my rear view.
I saw this 10 years ago. My wife hadn't. So take that. Let's go to the phone.
How about Jennifer Aniston?
Turn their
Can
mics.
Can someone get Jennifer Aniston on for us?
That Kevin would be Hart. Amazing.
Kevin Hart.
Come on, Vince Vaughn has a freaking apartment at the Palmolive building. He can't call in?
The Town.
I've seen it many times. Jerky. Let's go to the phones. Chip's in Villa Park. Hey, Chip, what's going on, you cookie?
Hey, Sizzle Chest, how are you?
All good.
Hey, just to kind of support you, Cap, they're ripping on you with The Town.
Yeah.
But in the names that were just given, like Adam Sandler would be great and Bradley Cooper and all, Christian Slater's name was dropped in there. The man hasn't done anything relevant since Heathers, so I don't understand.
Have you watched Mr. Robot?
For God's sake.
Mr. Chip?
You couldn't come up with anybody bigger than Christian Slater when you got The Rock, Bradley Cooper, Lady Gaga, Jennifer Lawrence, and Christian Slater. One of these isn't like the others.
Excuse me, Mr. Robot is a great show. I think you're living under a rock, Mr. Chip.
No, I don't think so. I think Christian Slater, I think, is in the Where Are They Now category, and I think people have forgotten about his greatness from earlier, years ago. He was good.
I think he makes some very valid points.
Hey,
I got your back.
You've never even heard of Mr. Robot.
They shouldn't rip on you for The Town.
The argument.
If they're going to drop a Christian Slater, they shouldn't be ripping you for The Town.
Thank you. Well said.
Chip,
you're
have
the
you,
best.
Chip, have you heard of Mr. Robot?
Oh, yes, I have, because it stars a guy that was in Bohemian Rhapsody.
Correct.
It's
a really good show.
But Slater needed a comeback. He hasn't done anything in years.
But Mr. Robot's a really good show, and it's current.
Well, that's great. But I bet how many people would know he's in Mr. Robot nowadays? Not many.
Everybody.
How many remember him from Heathers?
That was a great movie.
Yes. People would from that, but then his career took a major nosedive.
Until
this is the
Mr.
resurrection
Robot.
Of a Christian Slater.
Carm's in there. Mr. Robot, yay or nay?
My mic's not on. Turn this one on, Chris. Is it on? How come it's not going on?
This isn't an indictment of Mr. Robot, which is a very good show. I'm not going to knock that, but I'm saying Christian Slater and the names you've given.
I'm hitting the wrong one.
The high-ranking names and then Christian Slater.
Gleaming the Cube is great, and Heathers, like our caller mentioned.
What about right. Mr. Robot, though?
Mr. Robot's a very good show, yes. Rami Malek's awesome in it. He's the best part of it, though, Rami Malek. I don't know if Christian
Chip,
Slater...
thanks, man. Thanks for having my back. You're the best.
I love Christian Slater.
There you go. Chip in Villa Park. Look, I saw The Town 10 years ago. Maybe a little more. It was.
No, I don't think it's 10 years old, The Town, is it?
Chris,
2010.
Oh, it is? So, wow. Yeah. I can't believe that.
So I saw that, not right when it came out, and then I went ahead and watched it in a while, and you, Carmen DeFalco, recommended that and Man on Fire.
That's a good one.
And so I watched both those on some flights.
Good.
Here we go. I'm going to start coughing because you're spraying that Lysol. Anyway. The Town's great. It was on the other night. I said to my wife, hey, watch this with me. You'll like this.
It's on all the time on TBS or TNT.
And she jumped in at the part when they're dressed like nuns. They're in the car chase.
They're knocking off the
masks.
It's the bread truck. I like how they call them bread trucks.
Oh, speaking of great heist movies where they make masks, me and my wife just watched this movie. Tell me if you've heard of it, Point Break.
All right. Very good. Yes. Now, that's a great heist movie.
That is.
That's one of my favorites. The great Catherine Bigelow directed that. And if you can make this is the only thing Keanu Reeves is really good at. It's like John Wick in Point Break, you know, where he doesn't have to do much but look good and be a badass.
He makes great movies, Keanu Reeves. Not great like Pulp Fiction great.
He makes appealing movies, I guess, in a way, right? Yeah, he's certainly not Pulp Fiction great. He makes appealing movies. I mean, the John Wick trilogy is fab. The first one is, like, truly a terrific movie.
Okay,
I mean, it is.
So tonight, Saturday?
I think you got a break.
Okay.
We can pick
up
this conversation.
I'll ask you this. Yeah. I got a question for you. We'll take fast time out and crosstalk with Carmen and Yurko. Next.